Welcome to Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God, a production of Lion's Share, a ministry that aims to co-mission with Jesus in making disciples of all nations. We ignite and provide resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. In our world today, there is more information available than at any time in history, but wisdom is in short supply. In this podcast, you'll hear how learning about the character and ways of God is a guide to wisdom.
Hello everyone, I'm Sonia Bearson, and we're back with a new season of Lion's Share's podcast, Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God. This season, we'll be focusing on Lion's Share's initiative called the Leadership Games. This is an event that took place for the first time last summer, and it was so successful, we're holding it again this summer. Why should you care about the Leadership Games? Well, it's an embodiment of what intentional discipleship could look like. And many of us are trying to figure out how to do what Jesus has asked us to do. And we think this could be a great example, a great outline, a great structure to follow. I'm joined by Dave Buring, the founder and president of Lion's Share, who cast the vision for the Leadership Games and rallied the people who took part. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Sonia.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Well, I'm glad we're back with a new season. And, you know, I called the Leadership Games an event, but that's not quite the right word, right? How do you describe the Leadership Games to people who ask you about it?
Yeah, I think for me, I would use the word experience, because it's not just something you come and attend and sit there and glean information. It's really participatory. You come, and in the mornings when we deal with discipleship themes, there's encounters you have with the Lord that are real and transformative. In the afternoons when we're dealing with some of the pieces of an imaginary city, you're being stretched to think differently. Like, how do we actually fix this from a biblical ways of God kind of perspective? And then at night, when we're dealing with social issues, it's something we're all having to deal with. So how do we be more biblical, and how do we be more winsome? So I think in all of those pieces of the Leadership Games, the reality is I'd call it an experience.
Well, I think that really speaks to what the younger generation is looking for, right? They don't just want to attend a conference, sit at a workshop, take a bunch of notes, you know, maybe go through a spiritual high after doing some music and then head home.
Yeah. Right? Agreed.
I think the older generation doesn't necessarily want that, but that's what they're used to.
Yes.
I mean, the younger generation's hungering for something beyond that. Well, tell me why you felt the need for something like this. You know, you've been carrying the torch for discipleship your whole life, focusing people on the need for it. You've written resources that believers can use as a tool. You've been advocating and calling on churches and pastors to make discipleship a part of their normal practice, and spreading the word that discipleship is also important in the context of work. And that's what's in the Leadership Games. There's a real lens of vocational field that is layered kind of on top of this idea of discipleship. So tell me, why do we need the Leadership Games?
Yeah, I think there's several ways I can answer that. The first one is the need for older leaders to engage in discipling younger leaders. I think we have a generation that wants that. Whether it's fatherlessness, whether it's not having older leaders that have cared, I think they have a need to be able to be connected relationally. It's not like the experts coming in. Like last year, we reminded our leaders, like the day before it started, you are not here as an expert. You are here as a spiritual father or mother. So I want you to kind of get that hat on and get that perspective on that. You're going to be patient, because this generation functions differently than you do, and it's going to require patience. Sometimes you might want to pull your hair out, and you don't need to do that. You just need to say, Lord, help me be a better listener. Help me discern. So I think there's that part of it. But then, as you mentioned, I think there is the vocational aspect, where we have a generation, to be honest, Sonia, both of older leaders and younger leaders, who don't really look at their vocation through the lens of the ways of God. And I think that's always been a concern to me. And so this provides an opportunity for older leaders to have to wrestle with, what does it mean being a business leader as a disciple? What does it mean to, as a young leader, to know that as I'm growing in a career or a vocation, that I can actually lead out of kingdom principles, but without wearing my I Love Jesus t-shirt? one of the moments we had last summer is we had our governor, who's a sincere disciple of Jesus, come, and I asked him one question. I said, so what's it like being a disciple of Jesus who happens to serve as the governor of a state? And just to listen to his answer for the younger leaders was amazing. They were like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could combine politics with Jesus. And so it was an amazing, eye-opening experience seeing that the kingdom of God can infiltrate every vocation.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that people can be doing this on the local level, right? This is something mm-hmm. you could do at church.
For sure.
In your local church. But it still seems to be a bit of an uphill battle, right? To have an older leader with some vision to find the younger leader in, you know, their vocation or whatever. We've just continued to notice that there's friction there. It's just not happening. And so I think what's interesting about the leadership games is that you're bringing together like-minded people, right? Like-minded older leaders who say, Dave, yeah, I want to do this. I haven't found a bunch of other people in my church or in my community who get this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm out there doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. But now I'm here in this community of other older leaders who also want to do this mm-hmm. same thing. We're passionate about it. I don't feel alone. And same thing with the younger generation, right? The younger leaders are there, and maybe they've been hungering for something like this inside their own church, inside their own small group, whatever the case may be. But they haven't been able to find a vocational leader,
yeah,
you know, who's a few steps ahead of them. And so they now are their own community,
yes.
right? I've been hearing some stories about young leaders who are in the same, you know, business vocation field.
Yep.
And they may live in different places, but now they know another young leader who cares
yes.
about bringing Jesus into their workplace
yes.
and into the decisions. So I think that community aspect is really interesting.
It's been huge. And so the way that the leadership games works is a year before you participate, if you're a 40s to 70s aged person, is we help disciple you. We help you get into a team of people in your same vocation where you build community. And one of the things that was beyond my expectations last year is I knew relationship would happen, but it was all on Zoom for a year. So by the time everybody got there live in Nashville, we had the leaders come in a day early for relationship, prayer, prep, that kind of thing. It was like family reunions because mm-hmm. they actually hugged each other's necks. And the thing, though, that was amazing for me to watch, again, beyond my expectations, was that community of whatever it was, 25, 30 leaders, somewhere in there. Their community, they had experienced over a 15-month period of time, spilled over immediately to the young leaders, mm-hmm. which made them feel safe. It made them feel valuable. It made them feel like they could connect because there was a relational Velcro. And that was one of the things we had to talk about, honestly, with the 40 to 70 leaders, because they could be experts in their field, but we had to help them have a relational heart so that the young leaders could connect. And so that was something that was very satisfying for me to see.
How did you recruit the older leaders who took part? I mean, you were asking them to make a huge commitment, right? A year before the leadership games and then a year after yeah. of actually discipling these young leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Carmen LaBerge, who's a national radio host who we have the privilege of working with, and she's a part of this team. And right after the leadership game, she said, can I interview you about this? And that was her first question, like, what audacity do you have? You know, as only Carmen can ask, that you're asking for like a 2-year commitment. And I said, well, I said, part of the older leaders have said, I have a heart for the next generation, but I haven't been discipled myself. So we said, we've got you there. And then there was the community of the relationships within the vocations of the older leaders we wanted to build. And now they are amazed at the quality of the young leaders that they have the privilege of working with. So, you know, part of our discipleship philosophy in Lion's Share and any organization that makes discipleship a priority is it's you play the long game. It's never like Jesus had to play the 3-year long game to get his disciples ready for what we call the book of Acts. And so it's something we're unapologetic about, and we just say it requires that. And you know, you need older leaders to be stable. You don't need them with younger leaders kind of, well, I can't make it. you get enough of that at times with the younger leaders. And so we wanted to make sure, like, one of the things I said as I finished a call today, as we're working on 2025 leaders, is don't do this because you're my friend. Don't do this because you even like the vision. Do this because you've heard from the Lord. Because if you've heard from the Lord, then I know he'll give you grace and you'll be obedient to it.
How did you recruit the younger leaders who came?
Yeah, so we started with from a relational paradigm. And so the 30 leaders that we had at the beginning point of last year that said, I'm in, Dave, and they started walking with us, we went to them first and it allowed them to invite young leaders they had relationship with, regardless if they were in the same vocation or not. That was a little lower batting average, because what I didn't realize with some of those leaders, after they were honest with us, they weren't hiding anything, but it came out through this, is they said, I don't have a lot of those relationships. Mm. And they said, that's one of the reasons I'm attracted to this, because I'm willing, but I don't know who to do this with. And so it started there. And then we went to some churches and relationships that our staff has had, and where there was a little more trust and experience. Like a church up in Pittsburgh we walked with, a church up in Minnesota that we've walked with, and we've said, hey, let me share this more specifically. And as Laura on our team, I did this. That's where we saw, if I could use the word, batches of young leaders coming, where you had the, you know, the 8, 10, 12, 15 that were coming. And so, but it's open to any young leader. So if you're listening on this call and you go, I got a 20 and 30, that here's the qualifiers. They love Jesus, some level of godly character, at least for the moment, because you fluctuate in your 20s and 30s, but for the moment you feel called to your vocation. And fourth, you want to be discipled. You're a perfect candidate as a young leader for the leadership games.
Well, I'm going to play a short recording now to give our listeners a chance to hear what the young leaders who took part last summer had to say about what happened.
Constant messaging I've heard in the world for people my age is, you just need to figure it out. Like, we have to figure out our lives. We'll figure it out. And you're in your 20s and you work all the way up through high school, through college, trying to figure out your career. Then you get spit out into the workforce and you go, now what?
When you look around at what's happening in our world today, what concerns you the most? What challenges you? What's the one thing you wish you could change that you know would make a real difference? And where are you spiritually in your walk with Jesus? Is there a hunger to grow? Do you want to be stretched? Do you want to become a mature disciple of Jesus? If that sounds intriguing to you and you're that person that is hungry for the Lord, I want to encourage you, pray about joining us at the Leadership Games. You will have opportunity to build relationships with these older, wiser leaders, and they want to pour their lives into you.
You're going to be meeting people who have been in this vocation and done it successfully and done it well and done it well in maintaining their walk with the Lord.
It's beautiful to be around people where it's not about title. It's not about getting the next best job in your vocation. It's about advancing the kingdom of God, however that looks.
I didn't quite know what to expect when I started. And since being here, it's been inspirational. It's been transformational. And then the best way, confrontation. And I'm just really glad I did it.
Over this summer in Nashville, we host a gathering, the Leadership Games. And at this gathering, you'll have an opportunity to be challenged spiritually, vocationally, learn some things socially, all pointing you to the ways of God, how God goes about doing things. It will be a life-transforming opportunity for you, because when we do these kinds of things, Jesus meets us. And he transforms our lives. After our gathering here in Nashville, which is kind of the launch of it, you will have the opportunity to walk in a one-year disciple-making relationship with an older, seasoned leader. And together you'll walk through our tool called a discipleship journey, where you'll grow both spiritually and vocationally.
Somebody help me, because I don't know how to do this. And I think this year of discipleship is really going to help just developing that lens of seeing your career through God's eyes.
I have big brothers that I can go to with any problem that I might face that I know has been probably through the similar situation, but is going to approach any advice that they give me through a godly perspective.
Well, sometimes we can just feel the weight of the decisions we make, and knowing that there is someone that we can count on receiving advice, and most importantly, praying for you, pouring into you, I think that really gives me hope. And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
If you want to shape your generation to live differently than what's going on right now, I want to invite you to join us at the Leadership Games. You are a game changer, and Jesus wants to empower you to make a difference.
Dave, I get a little misty listening to those voices. You know, the excitement, the hunger for mentoring and disciplers who will pour into their lives. How about you?
Yeah, I had a difficult time during the 4 days together to not be in tears often, because I just saw, I think for me, as somebody who saw it in my heart, to see it actually fulfilled, but it was better than I thought. And then watching the video, I actually shed some tears the first time, because our friend Hal, who captured this with his team, did an amazing job, because I just thought he got it. Because last year, one of our challenges was inviting people had to do with, like, we don't have anything to show them, particularly young people. It's video. Right. You know, they need to see. We didn't have it because we had never done it. And so there was a lot of verbal, relational kind of currency. But now what I was excited about is we actually have something we can show people, as you just had the opportunity to hear that part, that is very impacting because it's making a difference in their lives.
Yeah. And I'll put in the links for this I'll put the links for if you want to watch it on video in the episode notes here, so you can watch that. So, you know, you mentioned a little bit about what took place at the Leadership Games, but break down for me what happened last summer.
Yeah. So we had young adults, 20s and 30s, that arrived and had a little orientation with them, some dinner. And then we began to focus on the mornings while we were together, being discipleship themes. And what we will focus on for year one again, as we repeat it this year, is the first morning was on God's heart as a father. Many have warped concepts of God because of difficulty with authority figures. And it was amazing how the Lord showed up, ministered to them, some with joy, some with tears. We had a moment where I asked the men that were there kind of as fathers to spread out around the room. And I just told the young leaders, if you've never had an older man look you in the eyes and pray a blessing over you, we just want to invite you to do that. And it was, I mean, it went on for a long time until we finished. And then it was interesting, Sonia, as we had some of the leaders came to me and said, like, if we didn't get this, can we come up? I said, yeah, man, just come up when you're done. Just so it spilled over to older leaders who are realizing, like at 65, I never had this. So it was a very tender, meaningful time. The second morning, again, discipleship themes in the morning, was on relinquishing your rights. It's a topic we've addressed here on the podcast before, but oftentimes this precious emerging generation can deal with entitlements, things they feel owed to them. And so under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus, we talked, I think it was about a dozen rights that you could consider hanging on to too much. Like, it could be finances and possessions, family and friends, opinions, future. None of them bad things, but if we hang on to them too tight, we're not free to follow Jesus in obedience. So the application of seeing them take a piece of paper out and write them down individually, the platform, which was kind of in a theater style where you came from the back of the room to the front from high to low, we made the full kind of stage area down there an altar. And they came down and they laid these things down one at a time. And it was, you know, one of those moments that they will look back in their life and realize, I laid down my rights there. And I told them, it doesn't mean you won't have to lay them down again and again, but you're drawing a line in the sand today. So again, experience, they encounter the Lord. And the third morning was on the kingdom. And, you know, we're called to be a part of the kingdom of God and daily advancing it. And I don't think it's one of the things that we often pause when we're brushing our teeth in the morning to say, okay, God, I want to be available to advance your kingdom today. And as young leaders, they acknowledged that and said, I don't think that way. And so we had a moment of application where I said, take something valuable that's on you. Could be an earring, could be a ring, could be your cell phone, just something you have. And if you want to say Jesus above this thing of value in my life, I'm laying it down to say, I will seek first the kingdom. And we had a table that was up there and it was full of iPhones and iPads and wedding rings and expensive watches. And it was their way of communicating this. And, you know, of course, when it was all done, we said, okay, come back and get your stuff. We didn't walk away with it. But the moment was just like wonderfully kind of a joyous intensity. And so mornings were that. Afternoons, we were dealing with an imaginary city the Lord had said to us to help them rehearse for the real. So we created an imaginary city called Hebron Hills, 300 some thousand people, that our vocational team leaders created real life problems for that imaginary city that needed to be fixed. And so we communicated with the young leaders, leave your republicanisms and democratisms at the door. This is about Jesus and his ways from his word. How do we actually fix this? And the interesting thing for me, Sonia, is I had young leaders coming in saying, I like this because it feels Avatar-ish. They said, it's not real, but it's real. And they said, I've never been stretched to think about fixing real problems through the lens of the ways of God. So that, and that was the heart of it, is just spark them. So when they go home and they run into something, they go, okay, my familiarity tells me to do this. What's God's ways on this? And we've got to change a generation to help them think that way. And finally, at night, we dealt with some kind of light, fluffy issues, race, politics, gender identity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's easy. Yeah, everyone agrees on that stuff.
Yeah. So that was a conversation where we had some panelists and then provided opportunity for them to ask questions in a safe environment. And so I think if you're thinking about discipling 20s and 30s, you have to think spiritually, vocationally, and socially. Otherwise, we're missing out in the real world they live in.
Yeah. Something that one of the older leaders said to me is that at Lionshare events, I'm going to call it an event,
yep,
a Lionshare experience, what's interesting is that there is an outline, right, of what's supposed to happen in the morning, what's supposed to happen in the afternoon. You know, I know there were some sessions by vocation,
yes,
right, that
uh-huh,
vocational leaders,
right,
held. And then you had kind of your hot topics in the evening. There's always room for what the Holy Spirit is going to do.
Yes, for
right?
sure.
Even if you set this summer's event up exactly the same, it would manifest differently.
For sure.
Right, because of the Holy Spirit. Like, can for you sure. think of something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and the way I would illustrate that is, when I think of a body, you have a spine. And it's stable. That's our schedule. We have thought it through. We have prayed it through. We have discussed it. And so that's our spine. But because the spine is in place, my arms and legs can move. They can wiggle. They can adjust. They can, and that's what happened. So like during this event, one of the things that was interesting to me is we have a dear friend of ours who came from a certain denominational background, walked through the process, was discipled. But he had never been in a setting where worship was vibrant like this. And I won't forget how that first night before I spoke, I needed to go up to the back and get something. I forget what it was. And his eyes met mine. And he was like was a 60-year-old man, but his eyes, it was like a boy on Christmas Day. And I looked at him and I said, are you okay? And so he just stopped and he looked at me and he said, Dave, he's here. And I looked at him, I said, John, is that not awesome? And he just kind of teared up and he just said, Dave, he's really here. And I said, John, he cares about you. He cares about his next generation. And there were moments like that weren't scheduled.
Yeah.
That I experienced. We had another one of our leaders came to me. He was supposed to present that morning and he said, I didn't sleep very well last night. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, it wasn't that. He said, I was wrestling with something. And I said, well, what was it? He said, the Lord wants me to share something from my life that was really difficult. And so I said, I just kind of wanted to protect and cover him. I said, can I ask what is he told me? So he got up and when he was in his presentation, he shared how he was molested as an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched and it was like for about a half a dozen people in the room, it was like a bomb went off. And during the break, I had one dear, godly young man. I just saw him in tears and he was making a beeline for me and he embraced me and put his head on my shoulder and he just wept. And I was just hugging him. I said, is what this person shared, is this what he said? Yes. He said, what he shared happened to me. And, you know, off script.
Right.
But the Lord moving. And so fortunately, we had several counselors there in our health, medicine, wholeness team, which is doctors, nurses, healthcare, fitness, all that. And so I said, if I could have one of the counselors spend some time with you, would you like? He said, I would like that. When he went home from that trip, his pastor reached out to me and said, he's a different person. Mm. And so during those 4 days, as he followed the lead of the Holy Spirit and he had courage to step into what God was doing in him, transformation happened. So I think those are a couple of things that come to my mind quickly that were like just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. There were a couple that were shared with me as well. And one of the things I've always appreciated about you and about Lion Share events and experiences, conferences, whatever the case may be, is there's no, you know, hey, we got to stay on schedule, right? Like, we don't have time for this. Like, that's not that important. No, like, we had a worship leader who was there who all of a sudden we realized he needed prayer. And so we stopped.
Yeah.
Right. And we had someone who's a doctor in the audience, who's one of the leaders, come explain what's going on and pray over him, pray specifically about the surgery he was going to have. Yeah. And, you know, okay, fine. We didn't do one more worship song. No big deal.
That's right.
Everybody in the room, older leaders, younger leaders, got to see, you know, this is real time.
Yeah.
This is what you do. You open up in vulnerability. You listen to the lead of the Holy Spirit. And you stop and you do it.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like oftentimes we'll say, like, when I look at the life of Jesus, he was a man of the word and the spirit. Meaning, like, when you just, if you just would say, okay, how many passages from the Old Testament did Jesus quote in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's a lot. So we knew he knew the word, but he was also somebody that followed the lead of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so I think it's something that I want to see imparted to our older leaders who haven't experienced that, but then certainly to the next generation. So they are biblical, but then when the Holy Spirit intersects them while they're walking biblically and gives them something specific, they're willing to trust and go with it.
So tell me about this year's Leadership Games. You've told me that you already have made some changes, because obviously there were some learnings from last year.
Absolutely. Like, for example, one of the things that we're going to adjust is in the evenings when we had our social conversations, last year we had our worship leaders come up and just lead in worship. This year we recognized that what happened in the evenings, they were processing still. And so by the time they got to their vocational teams in the afternoon, the vocational conversations got hijacked by what we did the night before. And, you know, which is a good problem. And so we all rode with it. And it was fine. But we said, okay, so when we're done with these conversations, let's get them back into their vocational teams and have that conversation now while it's fresh. Pray for them, whatever the case may be. So it ministers to them in the moment more effectively and buys us better time in the afternoons. We shortened it by a day. We just felt like, let's take the opportunity and experiment with this, and can we get in the same things that occurred but a day shorter for people's schedules, for what it costs, you know, all that kind of thing. So yeah, there's a number of things like that that we're just beginning to implement.
Yeah, and you added some vocational fields, right? So last summer you had, you know, government, law, security as one field. You had health, medicine, and wholeness as another field. You had the church as an additional field. Business is another one. And arts, entertainment, and sports.
Yep.
Right. That was the so you had, is it five?
Yep.
Right? That was five. And now you're adding a few more for this summer.
Yeah. So this summer we're adding family. And this one will be a little bit of a odd one in that you might have somebody whose vocation is business or arts or whatever, but they want to be, in this case this year, it's all older women. So we are saying, if there are young women that say, I want to be a godly wife and mom, how do I do that? They're welcome to join that team. We also added education, and we're looking at 25 of adding, I think we're going to call it STEM. So it's science, technology, you know, that whole engineering, mathematics. And so, yeah, each year we'll try to maybe add one or two things as we have the 40s to 70s that are willing to participate.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear that, listeners? We need older leaders who want to invest time in their field and think about taking this on. Well, Dave, over the course of the next few episodes, we're going to be hearing from older and younger leaders from each vocational field that was represented last summer. So again, that's business, arts and entertainment, government and security, and the church.
And health and medicine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Health, medicine, and wholeness. I am I have a list in front of me and I still got it wrong. Well, they're going to talk about what happened at the leadership games for them, but also what they've been doing and learning in the last 7 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just that event, just
that's
that experience.
Right.
Then they were going to pick up and then start meeting on Zoom every week and starting to go through a discipleship journey, which, you know, as listeners of this program know, is Lionshare's primary discipleship tool. So what should people, why should they listen to each of those episodes, especially if it's not a field that they work in?
Yeah, I think it's really important if you're in your 40s to 70s to hear the hearts of young leaders and realize we've got some awesome young people out there, but they need the loving hand on their shoulder. They need somebody who will be willing to not only speak into their lives spiritually, but like some of them have said to me, I don't have a person to call when I'm stuck in business or arts or, you know, government, whatever it is, and I'm in a sticky situation or I don't know how to respond well, that they can text and say, can we talk? And I just want to encourage you as older leaders, you're needed. You are very needed. Hey, keep hitting the golf ball. If you're retired, keep going to the beach. But can you give me a little time? And can you give young leaders a little time? So I think it's worth listening because I think if you're an older leader, you're going to catch some vision of how you can make an impact, a generational impact.
I think, too, that intimidation piece that you talk about, that I think a lot of older believers feel, right? I can't be in charge of mentoring someone or discipling someone, right? But I think listening to these interviews, you are going to hear that, I'm learning as much as the younger leader is too.
For sure.
And so maybe it's not quite as intimidating as I thought. I really want to focus in these interviews on getting specific examples of what people are catching, you know, during these Zoom calls. Because you and I are talking about things at kind of a general level, right? We're giving you the vision, the bird's eye view, but I want to hear about what's kind of going on in the trenches.
Yeah.
Right? What are those little aha moments that are happening? So that's my goal, Dave.
That's good.
Pray over those interviews.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, you know, if you're interested in learning more about the leadership games, and especially we're looking for younger leaders who should take part. You know, when I share this with a younger leader or even with a parent and say, hey, is this something your kid might be interested in, your adult child? They are so excited because they know that this is what's needed in their kids' lives, right? And younger leaders know this is what they need in their life. They just didn't know that this kind of thing existed. That's the thing I heard over and over again from the young leaders who were there last summer. It's like, oh, I didn't really know what I was coming to, but this is amazing, you know? And so I'm going to tell a bunch of my friends about it, right? But what we need to do is find some more young leaders like that who should take part. So if you know someone, please send an email to info@lionshare.org. And we'll tell you all about it. Well, we're going to finish out this episode with a recording we put together featuring older leaders who are committed to be a part of this initiative. So you'll get to hear from them now that you've already heard from the younger folks, and we hope it'll inspire you. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
When you think about what these 20 and 30-year-olds, the environment that they're in right now, the lens that they're seeing the country, the world, everybody's concerned, right? Everybody's concerned with where is the future. And I think if we stop looking and pointing our fingers at somebody else fixing it, and we start to look in the mirror, and we say, wait a minute, it starts with me.
We have so many 20s and 30s that do not know the ways and character of God. They have been bombarded with media and phones and whatever else is in their life, with people just talking in snippets of information as opposed to truth. So I think as leaders, we can't complain if you don't step up.
My father died when I was 7, and I spent most of my adult life wishing I could find a mentor, feeling cheated that I didn't have somebody. And eventually I realized, probably well into my 50s, that I needed to forget about me trying to find a mentor, but be one.
I want you to think back to when you were in your 20s and 30s. Did you have some further along followers of Jesus come alongside you to help you grow as a disciple? If you did, that's awesome. If you didn't, remember what that felt like? You longed for this, but it was a longing that was never satisfied. Well, now that you're in your 40s to 70s, you have an opportunity to do that for others. We have a hungry bunch of 20s and 30s out there right now that want to grow in their faith spiritually, and they long to walk with godly vocational leaders who will be willing to pour the things of God related to their vocation into their lives so they can lead as godly people in society. If that sounds like something of interest to you, I want to invite you to learn more about the Leadership Games. And the Leadership Games is a strategic catalyst that mobilizes those in their 40s to 70s, like seasoned, godly, wise leaders, to connect with those in their 20s and 30s, young leaders who are hungry, in a relationship that leads to discipling them, both spiritually and vocationally.
If you're passionate about pouring into people, to be able to come to an event where you're going to be paired with somebody that is already ready to say, yes, I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and it's a win.
So when we meet in our vocational breakouts, we are really trying to help the younger generation sift through real life circumstances and use the grid of God's word, God's character, His ways, to help them determine how to navigate those circumstances. So they are facing things we never did or in greater depth than we did. And so as the Great Commission, we are called to it and they are hungry for it.
There's a lot of opportunity to go to an event where things are presented to you. There are fewer opportunities to go where you actually get to participate in a process that transforms you as a disciple and makes you a transforming agent of discipleship in your own vocation.
Nobody has the time. Nobody has the time. I think if you asked my wife, she would have probably said, you have absolutely no time to do this. I said, I have absolutely no time not to do it, because this is really the most important. I'm fortunate. I have a 33-year-old and a 36-year-old. They're going through the same thing that these individuals are going through, and it's like looking at my own daughter and son and say, would I invest in them? Absolutely. That's why I'm here.
We probably have more to impart than we realize. We don't have all the answers. We've messed up enough times on our own to at least talk through our experiences. Taking that first step, doing something that might be uncomfortable, this is not in my wheelhouse, I would say, but I'm just being obedient.
We have two options. We can sit back and say, oh, woe is me, the world is deteriorating and these young kids, they don't know what they're doing. Or you can take the other path, which is, well, let me do something about that. And this is a way you can do something about that.
Results move at the speed of relationships. Relationships move at the speed of trust. And what our younger generation needs are mentors that they can trust. The way you build trust is through trustworthiness, and that comes by actions. And we need more individuals that are seasoned, that have life experiences, that are willing to mentor, walk with, share, and allow the younger generation to shadow them.
How do you want to replicate yourself? If you're a disciple of Christ, how do you want to do that? You don't want to just sit back and retire. I'm not going to be one of those that does that. And so how am I going to link arms with the next generation and pour into them? And we need more people in my age group to do just that. And I think the possibilities of this kind of a mentoring program, a discipleship program, will have a ripple effect. And I'm excited about the ripple effect.
If you have a passionate heart for the next generation and raising up godly young men and young women, I want to encourage you to consider being a part of my team with the Leadership Games. You may have children and grandchildren that will sit under these next generation of leaders. Wouldn't you like an opportunity to make sure they're shaped in the things of God? I want to invite you to join one of our video calls where you're going to learn more about the Leadership Games. I hope to see you on one of those calls because we need you to impact the next generation.
Wisdom Unlocked, The Ways of God is a production of Lionshare, a ministry that ignites and provides resources to disciple makers in the church and throughout the vocations. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you, please visit lionshare.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo.